mercy walking in, wasn't it?
Thank you, Brother Bobby. That's good. I could sing like that. I'd be singing all the time, wouldn't you? You say, well, I can't sing like that. No, I can't either, but I'm going to tell you something. Can you make a joyful noise? I can do plenty of that. And amen, we can do that to the Lord, can't we? Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Yes, ma'am. Amen. God bless you, Miss Joan. Appreciate you obeying the Lord. And there's nothing you can sing. And we pray you'll be able to do it again. She's having a problem getting enough air to do it. But we're going to pray the Lord's going to touch her. Help me pray. You know what? When we get to heaven, it's all going to ring, ain't it? Whew. He's talking about singing. I'll tell you something. If people don't like it, you don't. If someone don't like to go to church now, just hang it up. You ain't gonna like it up there. You hear me? You don't love going to church now. You're not gonna love being there. You'll be out of place. Because this is not a drop in the bucket. What we're gonna experience and see when we see him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1 and 2. Look into the Word of God just a little bit. Hebrews, chapter number 1, or actually number 2, let me say some things. And also, be going to the book of Corinthians, probably in a little bit, Lord willing. Could we pray before we start reading scripture this morning? Father, we come to the throne room of grace that we might obtain mercy, as our brother is singing about. What a blessed it is when you step in. Whether it be, our Father, wherever we may be, we in your presence. You ever were. We thank you for being with us here this morning. Ask your blessings on the scriptures we read it. And share it this morning. God, may it find a lodging place in all of our hearts. May it stir us down deep in our soul. And realize how temporal we are on this earth. Our Father, and how our time is limited. I pray you bless this time together this morning. We'll ever thank you and praise you now. May your word go forth. You said it would encompass that that pleases you. I'll grant it to be so this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, I noticed something in these two chapters here, and not only that, but all through this book of Hebrews is so wonderful, like the rest of the Word of God. But if you notice in chapter number 1, it talks about the Lord, you know, whom he appointed heir all things, who made the worlds, and talks about how much better he is in angels and higher than he is in the angels, and how that God has spoken to us in his last days. He spoke to us in the former days by the prophets in the old times, and he's speaking to us in his latter days through his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom he appointed all things, and who is the brightness of his glory, verse number 3 said, in the express image of his person, upon all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. Purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory to God. Being much so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Glory to God. I want you to thank something just a moment. For said unto the angels, for unto which of the angels said in any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels said, he who made the angels spirits and the ministers of flame and fire. But unto his son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a sepulchre righteous and a king, separate of a kingdom. Hallelujah. Notice what he said in verse number 13. But to which of the angels said at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. For they all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You know what? Our Lord, in his first chapter, he shares with us how much greater he is than the angels. But you know what God said to them angels? You know what angels do? They minister in spirits to you and I. Don't ever forget that. God sent them for that. Those are the heirs of salvation. I don't know what you think about it, but I know that I believe it's so. We come into this world, we've got at least two angels. I'm going to tell you something. They were ministering to me and ministering to you before you was ever saved. You just didn't know it, maybe. I can tell you they were me, because if they hadn't been, I wouldn't even been alive long enough to get saved. Had a few close calls. But they ministering spirits. Those are the heirs of salvation. But in this first chapter, man, what I wanted to just take a glimpse at was the very fact that Jesus is greater than the angels. Much superior than the angels. But if you notice, not only did God make man, you know why Jesus had become Lord, had left his throne in glory and become, because God made man lower than the angels, didn't he? But what did Jesus do? This is what really staggered in my heart this week. He was willing to be made lower than the angels too. You know why? Come get me and you. He was. You think about that. You think about it. Look what it said in verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels, while the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. For became him for whom are all things, by whom were all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. To him the captain of our and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I'll tell you something, he went through sufferings, he went through every temptation, every trial that you and I'll ever have to face or ever think about facing. But I want you to notice in the first chapter, it talks about how much greater he is than the angels, but he came and was willing to become lower than the angels, even to taste death for us and to die for us, that we, by the grace of God, listen, he was laid lower than the angels. The angels never have died. But he did. He died, suffered death, and tasted of it, that you and I might be brought back to the Lord. The first Adam sold us down the drain. And the last Adam and the second Adam saved us by his marvelous grace. But he was willing to humble himself and become obedient even to the death of the cross. He was willing to be made lower than the angels. He came down, took upon him a body like you and I. Listen, the Bible talks about he took part of the same. Look what he said in verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. That's the devil. Destroy him that hath the power of death. You know what? The devil can't kill you. He only can do what God gives him permission to do now. But you know what? Jesus became partakers of, it said partakers, what did he say? For as much as his children partakers of the flesh and blood, or he likewise took part of the same. He took part of the same. He didn't take on that sinful nature. No, sir. And you know what? Blood running through his veins. That's why he was born of a virgin. Blood running through his veins was Emmanuel blood. Thank God that it was. It wasn't tainted. But you know what he did? He come here as a man. Just like Adam came here the first time as a man. Jesus was tempted, he was tested, and he tried. In every area that you and I can ever be tested, tempted, and tried. But I want to tell you something. First Adam failed, but the second Adam, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, got victory for you and for me. Hallelujah. But what amazes me, I had to weep a little about it, that he was willing to become like a, likewise part of the same, like unto us, and become lower than the angels, like we were made. But he came where we were. You know why? Because we couldn't go where he was. He had to come where we were if he's going to save us and redeem us. And so thank God. If you look at that first chapter, it talks about how glory he was in the heavenlies and how much better he was than the angels, superior to him. Well, I reckon he was. He was God. But you know what? He was willing to become man. Walk on this sin-cursed earth that you and I could have eternal life. Glory to God. I don't know about you. Can you imagine him leaving all the glory of the Father, coming to this old sin-cursed world as a babe, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, had no room in the inn because he was in a cow stable, in a manger. Because they had no room for him in the inn. One that created this existence, all that you can see and are, was willing to come humble himself and become obedient. And he suffered all the things that you ever may want to suffer or have to suffer. He tempted in everything that you and I may ever have to be tempted, as I said a while ago. But he was victorious for you and for me. Glory to God. I don't know about you, honey. You might not want to shout, but you somehow or another you ought to express how you appreciate God for that. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hey, I'll never forget what Brother Enzo said at Carol's funeral. He says she's where she can shout now. She couldn't even walk when she left here, but said she's shouting now. She wanted to over there. And I believe that. My grandma looked on that other side before she left here. And one of the things she said to the people up there in that bright city, brightest, prettiest things she'd ever seen, prettiest music she'd ever heard. When she come back too, she stayed unconscious a whole month. And I had to do some questions. I want to know, that's been a long time ago, but I've never forgotten it. What was them people doing? And she said they dancing and singing, and they was having a time. And she said, that's the most beautiful city I've ever seen. She said, I don't believe that. I believe God let her look into it. He did. It wasn't long she left us. But you know what? I've had people ask me, say, what did you see? I said, he let me see nothing. I reckon you want me to stay here. You know what? There's glimpses of that other side get you hungry to go. We can see them by faith, though. God reveals them to us through his spirit. You know, is it, what is it? Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. But the things revealed belong to us. He's got some secrets, don't he? But the things that he reveals, it's ours. He reveals them to us. The Spirit of God can reveal to us, and when he reveals them to us, they're real. Hallelujah, they're real. And so we see that Jesus was willing. He was willing. Now I want to say, that I want to talk just a little by the grace of God about this Lord that went to Christ and died for us. The Bible said, I just read it a while ago, he tasted death for every man. He went through the valley of that shadow of death himself. That's why he can walk with us through it. Not only did he taste of that physical death, but he tasted of that eternal death. He drunk that awful cup. And he knew what it is. He tasted. He knew what it was to be separated from God, because he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His Father, just from on that cross of Calvary, he went through that and did it for you and did it for me. And so as I look at these things, I see what our wonderful Lord did. How he left the throne and all the splendors of heaven. And he was there in the creation when he said, let us make this and that. When he was there, when he spoke, made the rivers. As that song says, it is said, I thirst. All those things that God did and still doing, Cain was willing to get on that cross and die for us. And so he said, the Bible said in verse 14, his children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power of death, and that is the devil. And we know that physical death is still real today, but thank God, listen, that eternal death, he's taken care of that for believers. And listen, why we don't have to worry about it. Look what he said in verse number 15, deliver them also who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know what? It's a natural thing for sinners to fear death. That's just a natural thing. But you know what? It's not necessary for a saint to fear death. It absolutely not. I know there's a certain amount there. That's what keeps us here. But when you begin to look at it and see that our Lord tasted of death for you, death is a reality. Death is a certain thing. Death is something that's coming to the end of this life. And I might want to say, we sometimes, listen, I heard a preacher say probably 35, 40 years ago, he said, you don't see people sitting around talking about who's going to die next. You don't see them sitting around talking about who's going to be the next in the pass away. No, we try to put that as far out of our minds and as far away from us as we can. But what reality you and I need to face this morning is the fact that death is a reality. And death is certain, and death is sure, and we don't know when it's coming. But as every one of us, I think sometimes we need to sit down and say, hey, and even tell our children, and our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and say unto them simply that we are, listen, mortal. We haven't got our immortal bodies yet. We haven't had this corruption to lay down and get up in incorruption yet. This body is corrupting and dying daily. It's going to leave one way or the other. Death is something. But I want to tell you, turn with me now. It butts more over here. But it's much, no, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, just a moment. Look in here. In 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, for a few moments, as we share some more about this thing that's called death. Oh, you think about it. Look at in verse chapter 15, verse number 25. He talked about our Lord. He must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so listen, Jesus is going to reign. He says that he puts every enemy under his feet. Now look what he said. The last enemy. Now, he destroyed death. I want to say, death's an enemy. I know a Christian is better. What all those are left behind. He said this last enemy is, he said it's an enemy, is death. It's not, then he said it's not just an enemy, it's a last enemy. It's a last enemy that is going, listen, he's going to put down and defeat. You know why he can do it? He done got up himself. Woo! That tomb's empty. Someone said, you ever been over and looked in there? And I don't got to, and got to. I know a lot of them has, but you ain't got to go lower and look. All you got to do is look right in here. Look in this book. He got up, honey. He's alive. He got up. Hallelujah. So it's an enemy. It's an enemy to be destroyed. It's a last enemy. But thank God. Can you imagine living where you wouldn't have and have to never have no thing, even think about leaving a lost loved one, at least leaving a saved loved one? You wouldn't have to think about. I know as parents, you can't help but think about it while them youngs is there in your arms. Oh, you're, I mean, I know I've been there. You love them and you cherish them, but always remember, mamas and daddies, they mortal too. They are here also like we are, temporal. So it's an enemy. You know why it's an enemy? It come take the dearest one to your heart away from you. Take one closest to you. No respect to a person. All die. Sometimes the best do. That's right. I see it happen all along. Seen it happen in my own family. I tell a lot of times I wish I was a Christian. Dwight was my little boy. Oh, he had a heart for God. He did. He wouldn't even stay in front of a TV if he couldn't have a remote in his hand. You know why? Sometimes his mama said, "Oh, leave it, just leave it here a little bit. If they say anything, they will turn it." He said, "Mama, you done heard it." But you know what? He can take some of the those that are dearest in your heart, and he also takes some of the ones. You know why I think he does that? Sometimes they're ready. They're ready. So I know he's taking two of the best out of my family. Immediate family. How about you? If Jesus calls, knocks on that door, hear the summons, it's over. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy salvation? Or where is thy victory? Excuse me. The sting of death is sin. Strength of sin's the law. Thanks be unto God, which gives a victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Death, where is your sting? Well, there's a little sting to death. It stings us when, in a sense when loved ones leave. But I want to tell you something. Jesus comes to take that sting out. He did. You know why? The sting of death, sin. You know what happens to that? Thank God he paid the price for it. Let me say this, Brother Raymond. Our sin been forgiven. So when that's done, sting gone. You hear me? Sting gone. Sting of death is gone because sin had been forgiven. What about the strength of sin's law? Well, thank God he fulfilled that too. Hallelujah. Don't hear those thunderings of the law. He's fulfilled that for us. You say, why did he have to do that? Because you and I couldn't. But he could. Adam fell. Jesus rose up. Paid the supreme sacrifice. So listen. There's sting been removed. Thank God. Because sin been forgiven. Now I want to tell you something. If you hadn't had your sins forgiven, you're still facing them. You're still carrying them around. They still own you. They're in your heart. They still burden you. You're still carrying the weight of them around. But I'm going to tell you, then you better come to Christ and let him take you and forgive you your sins, because it'll be such a sting to you. That's the reason, the sting of death. And that's the reason, the sorrow of death. It's not only a sting even if you don't know the Lord, but there's a sorrow because you don't have no hope. Because he said, blessed, listen, that you had our sins forgiven, have our hope in heaven, that we have a hope. Why? Because, thank God, we know that he rose again. He's bringing those back with him that we lost to him. Do you know Jesus? Has your sin been forgiven? If you have, take that sin away. Take the sting away. Because the sting of death is sin. And when Christ forgives you your sin, whew, what's that telling me? Sting gone. The sorrow's gone. As others. Don't mean you can't weep. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, knowing his face to rise and raise him up. He still wept. That's not all. It also, you take away the slavery of it. You say, what's that? I just read it a while ago. And all, did I read it? I don't know, men ought to. It's in Hebrews 2, though. All their lifetime were subject to bondage for the fear of death. It'll keep you in bondage here, honey. It'll keep you. You can't even enjoy life. I'm gonna tell you something. I had such a fear of it, and God, I guess, used that in a sense to bring me to him. He was convicting me. I could see myself getting killed on the road. And when I woke up on Highway 20, going toward Tallahassee, on the wrong side of the road, on that truck, Brother Raymond, and he blowed his horn. I had to swerve to get back on the other side. I was asleep. Boy, I had a fear worse than anything ever come over me. And I'm going to tell you something. That fear of death never did leave me until I found Christ. Then I said, hey, if it comes now, oh, we got a sense enough of it to keep us. It's like I asked one of my brothers, I said, ask him about the Lord. Was he ready to meet the Lord? Was he ready to go? He said, I'm ready to go. Made that everything all right with him. But he said, I'm not in no hurry. I said, well, we ain't supposed to be in a hurry. I had to agree with him. We got that sense of fear. But when I found Jesus, I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know that fear had me in bondage to death. But had me in bondage, I didn't know that he was going to do something about that. Huh? You know how he did it? Took my sin away. You know why it makes me not have a fear of death? You know why people fear death? Honey, that's not the death's not it. It's not going through the process. But that's not what it is. You fear what's going to be added just like I did. You fear the judgment. You fear what's going to do. You fear you're going to have to stand before God to give account for the deeds done in your body. And all of us will. Some at judgment seat of Christ. As believers at judgment seat of Christ. Unbelievers at the great white throne judgment. But God is going to summon us to the court. And may I say, there won't be no rehearing, no other hearings, no other court dates. They put them off in the courts of the law here. Somebody may think they're going, they may postpone it. You ain't going to have no lawyer to postpone it. You ain't going to have nobody to plead your case. The only one who's going to plead your case is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross and died and paid your sin debt. That's the only hope. And listen, if you don't have that hope, don't have your sins forgiven, you got bondage because you're in bondage. You're a slave to sin. Need setting free. Thank God and he can set you free. Glory to God. You can get out of slavery. You can get out of that bondage that Hebrews talks about. You sure can. Like about what he said in verse 57. 15th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Thanks be unto God who gives us a victory. He said we could have victory, didn't he? Victory. Well, there's only one way it comes. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You never have it anywhere else. That's why he said in the book of 1 Timothy, it's in 2 Timothy, verse 10. But now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and have brought life and mortality unto light through the gospel. Hallelujah. And so Jesus abolished it, done away with it, and said, thank God, I'm bringing you life, eternal life. Hallelujah. You don't have to listen. We may still have to lay these old bodies down the graves. Listen, but thank God, they won't stay there. He's given us a victory. We're getting up one day, these bodies are. But thanks be unto him for that wonderful promise. So we have that blessed promise, that blessed hope, that wonderful promise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's through our Lord. So what did he say over again in 1 Corinthians 15? Gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he said in verse 58. This is a good verse for everyone. Beloved, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This is all this tells us to do. Steadfast. Keep going. Be steady. Don't be wobbling around. Don't be running back. You know, just keep going on with God. Be steadfast with it. Be dependable on it. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. And be unmovable. Say, I'm not, no sir, the devil ain't going to turn me around. Nobody else is going to turn me around. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going on with God. I'm going to walk with him. I got to look at the other day. I ain't got back to it yet. What he did, Lord, may I embrace all those things, how God tells us to walk. We to walk in love, walk in the light, walk on. We'd move. We'd be steadfast. We'd be moving on with God. Don't let nobody move you. Just stand up and stand. Keep your convictions. Stay with the Word of God. I know we're living in an hour when everything's gone modern. Let's stay with the book. That's why I like staying with old King James Version. I cannot. I do. I love it. I've been 50-something years reading it and trying to hide a few of them verses in my heart, and I'm not going to start on something else. I'm going to steadfast with it. Hallelujah. Just stay with it. I always say, well, they don't do that, thee and I and all on something. No, I still love it. But you know what? I won't ever say much about it, but I sure do. I know it was at the funeral home, and I probably, I know I've done shared this. Some of you might not have heard it, but anyway, I knew some verses, and I wouldn't be sure I had them in one just right. Carol liked in the book, she liked that book, fifth book of chapter Romans. And I said, you got a Bible here? I didn't have mine with me. I didn't have my New Testament with me. They brought me a Bible. I got to look and I couldn't even find the verses I wanted to find. I don't know what it was. I don't know what translation it was. It weren't close enough. I couldn't find. I said, no. I said, you got to bring me a King James version. I'm not familiar with this. You say, well, I got something else. I'm not beating you over the head. And I got a Bible somewhere. It's got, somebody gave me. It's got about three. You got the King James and got three, about two or three other translations with it. And I'm not saying you can't use some of them for reading with the Word. I do. I read books. I read behind other preachers. But I glean from it. But I want to encourage you. Get the Word of God in your heart. Hallelujah. Well, I just throwed that in. I guess the Lord wanted me to share that. Stay with the King James. Hallelujah. But he said in that last verse, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You got to work for God to do. Abound in it. Go on with it. God's got something for every one of you to do. You say, well, I don't know what mine is. Well, maybe you're talking something about the Lord every day or when you can. Share Christ with them. You say, well, I don't know how to share it with them. Well, invite them to church. Invite them to Sunday school. Invite them to come. They hear the Word. God may plant a seed in their heart. You tell them one thing, what Jesus done for you. That's all I know to tell them. I know he saved me. Now, like his last part. Abound in that work of the Lord, Brother Donnie. Pardon me, I says, you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, I think about that when we go to the prison. And Brother Donnie, all that preaching we've done down there, and that good preaching you're doing down there, is not in vain. It won't be in vain. Whatever you do for the Lord, and I try to go for as much as I can, it won't be in vain. You go to the nursing homes and visit. You go to the hospitals and visit. Go. You say, well, I'm not, don't know how to be a preacher. You don't know how to be a Sunday school teacher. Somebody's there. And after I went to both places as patients, I can tell you, it means a lot. And I see now more, and I want to go now more than ever. What it means to be set up in a room and someone come by just to see how you're doing and pray with you. It means a lot. You see, when you get on the other side, and that's what a lot of times, everything going good, we on this one side. But if we get sick or afflicted, had to go to a nursing home or a hospital, we can see the need. We can see the need then. You know what? That's why God gave us a burden for the prison. I don't like to hear that door click behind us. But if I was going in there to stay a long time, it would be an awful sound. But it's enough of sound. Make me want to go in there and tell them about Jesus. Click. A little comical, but I saw one of my nephews who works down there. Believe it or not, he has his boy Jimmy. I saw him. We see him down there a lot on Tuesday night. He's something else, but you'd have to know him. You all time getting you about something. I didn't think that much about it. The other day, I saw him in the cafe. Him and his wife was in the cafe. And I said out loud, I said, last time I saw you, was in prison. Jimmy. He lit up like that. And come back. He said, well, you didn't have to tell everybody in here. That was the last time I saw him. But they let him out too. But I said that to say this. It's folks there. It's folks all around. Not just there. But you know, that's why it's so important. This is what burdens my heart. I'm glad they let us go to prison and preach to them. Why can't we go to the schools and preach to them? My theory is we had more preaching in the homes, more word of God in the home, more in the schools, we'd have less to preach to in the prisons. I believe that. I hate to say it, but homes are so much different now, majority of them, not all of them, than they was when I was raised up. There's no comparison. We hardly have nothing to the 11 of us. We had plenty to eat. We worked. All sat down around the table. You don't see that much no more. If you do, some sitting over here. I'm just talking to you from my heart now. It's sad. Folks, better get back to the basics. Word of God. I want to encourage you parents that's got children still in the home. Get that Bible down. If you want to get you some Bible story books and read them to them, read them. Get that Bible and read it to them. I don't have no regrets. And now I'll still be better off with that. Because it'll take up your time if you're not careful. We was raising our children. We didn't even have a TV in the house. I don't thank God for it. You know why? If we weren't going to church summers, give us some family time. Get down on the floor with them. Play with them. Ride them on your back. Talk to them about Jesus. Share with them the Word of God. Have a Christian home. You got to get the Word of God in them. This world's terrible out there. It'll grab them. It'll get them. Got to get the God in them. So I want to encourage you. Your grandparents, encourage your children. Get the Word of God in them grandchildren. Okay? That's our only hope. Got to get to them. Must. Got to. Because they're mortal too. You don't know what time they're going to come to the age of capability. Different, I believe children come to at different ages. But I'll tell you one thing. You must make things right with God. You must accept the Savior, Jesus. John 14:6 said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except by me. So can I encourage you? Let's turn off the TVs. Let's get the Word of God. Get in it. Hide it in our hearts. Let's get it in these children's heart and grandchildren's heart. And also, bring them to Sunday school. Okay? We got somebody to teach them the Word. Hide it. Get them hidden in their heart. I like these little ones like that right there in here. As far as I'm concerned, they wouldn't quit being babies, bring them in here. I ain't talking about big babies. I'm talking about just in the little babies. If you don't bring them in here, bring them in here too. They don't know how to stay out in nursery, and they don't know how to stay in children's church. Get the Word of God to them. Ain't nothing going to take the place of it. Folks, I'm not being mean this morning. I've just on my heart. Huh? We need him. You ever seen anything like what we need? I won't even get into detail. When I heard where those got shot at. It was Orlando again, is that when it was, wasn't it? And one, I think the same place, one singer, not the same place, Summer down, it was the same place, one Summer's in Florida, a singer got shot. One singer. But you know what I heard? Last time I heard on the news, well, it's 50 killed. 53 hospitalized, is that right? But what burdened my heart is where they were. Going out in eternity. And my heart was crying out, and I said, God, somehow can't we reach them? Can't we reach them? You said, well, look where they were. I don't matter. They lost, died, going to hell. Can't we reach them? Can we reach them? For you, oh God, help us, Lord. Help us. Fifty more souls going out in eternity. What are we doing? Folks, I'm telling you, it's late. Dying without Christ. Nothing no worse than that. But in closing, so much difference in dying outside of Him and dying in Him. Absent from the body for Christian is present with the Lord. It's not just better. I'm reminded of what someone told me Hutt said. Emily was telling me yesterday. He said, it says it's far better. Thank you, brother. He'd been listening and reading his book, hadn't he? Tell you something, God's going to raise up some young preachers, you hear me? Because I might not be able to preach that to get to be about 100. I'm going to preach the Lord that as long as I stay here. I had a friend, this is no joke, I preached his funeral. He preached one night, went, sat down in the front pew and died. I don't know of a better place to leave. Leave this world from, than the house of God, do you? But you know what? Unto then, unto death comes, or the rapture takes place. Let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain. You're not serving God in vain, sir. You're not serving God in vain, ma'am. God's taking what you're doing and blessing it, and it will be a reward for. Hallelujah. I've had people say, what do you get out of going to all these hospitals and going to see all these people? Honey, I'm blessed when I go. God blesses me on the way there and on the way back. And He blesses me in there while I'm praying for them and while I'm trying to encourage them. Hey, He's encouraging me. Amen. Try it. Amen. Would you stand with me? While he come, get us a song ready.